Well, have you thought about the first words you're going to say to Jesus when you see Him? You want to be ready. It's a good thought, isn't it? Yeah. I got a verse that says Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." That's verse 6. Now this verse says, whatever I sow, I'm going to reap. That's what God says. And if I think I can sow something and reap something else, I'm mocking God. Now that's a good thought, isn't it? So I want to watch what I sow. Now this little book here was written back in the mid-1800s. It's called The Seven Laws of Teaching. And there are seven laws of teaching. And the first one is the teacher should master the subject he's teaching. And that's my responsibility tonight. The second one is the listeners or the students must pay attention with interest. That's your job. Okay? I was speaking one time, and in the front row, a fellow went to sleep. And I went down off the stadium, and I went down here. I got right in front of him, and I went, "Ah!" You know? He goes, "You didn't go back to sleep." It's not a good thing to do, but I did it. Yeah. Now, my daughter helped me out with this, and she gave me some overheads and some things, and she put on here, start at 7:50, and that's just exactly what I did. You know, I've been up here a little bit. I don't know how she knew, but that's what she said. And then on the next page, you know, she has, you know, 7:55, and then there's 8:12. You know, this is 8:35. Can you imagine it? Oh, my. You know I'm not going to follow it. Now, we've got high tech here, and I push a button. And as I push a button, a light goes on. And, you know, this is the harvest laws. That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. The fellow by the name of John W. Lawrence wrote a book on the seven laws of the harvest. Now, before I read that book, I wrote down what I would think would be the seven laws of the harvest. And I came up with eight. But he had seven, and I had the seven that he had plus one more. But isn't that interesting? They're laws. Now, laws are interesting things. They work. If you can understand this, effects obey their causes by irresistible forces. Effects obey their causes by irresistible forces. We have cause and effect. And if I can have the right cause, I'll get a certain effect. And if I can control the causes, I will get that effect. And that's the way it works, and that's the way God has made it. So we have cause and effect in our life. Now, we can figure out the causes for our own lives and control those. We can be better off for that. That is wonderful. That is fantastic. You know. So we're going to go through these seven laws, hopefully. The first one is, we reap what we sow. Now, you can't cheat on this one. That's the Lord says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man sows, whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. So you can't cheat. You're going to reap what you sow. I'm going to reap what I sow. So I want to watch what I sow. You know, isn't that great? So here we are in the sweet corn. I plant corn and I get corn. On a farm, you plant beans, you don't go out and try to pick corn. See? You sow joy, you get joy. You sow blessings, you get blessings. What you reap, you sow. And God said that. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. If I say I'm going to reap something else when I'm sowing something, I'm mocking God if I say I'm going to reap something else. It's not going to happen. Let's see how this works. We reap the same kind as we sow. I plant beans, I raise beans. The same kind. There's some sunflowers. We reap what others have sown. Other people sow, and I reap. See, we have people playing this music up here. It's fantastic. See? But they have worked and learned and used their gifts and abilities, and we get to reap that. We sit back here, you know. It's just fantastic. See, so we reap what others have sown. We reap more than we sow. We sow a little bit, and we reap more. There's a picture of a handful of corn, and we plant that, and we just get oodles of corn. You know, the farmers do this, and they're glad now because the corn is up, and they're making money. We reap in a different season than we sow. We sow in this season, we reap in another season. That's a good, isn't it? I can't expect to sow and reap what I need necessarily. I talked to somebody here, and someone I led to Christ, they led to Christ. And then someone they led to Christ led somebody else, and I'm reaping what I've sown. You know, I just almost get translated. So good. We reap in proportion to what we've sown. You sow a little bit, reap a little bit. Sow a lot, reap a lot. Now this is a good one. We reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. That's a good one. Now I can't redo last year's harvest, but I can do something about this year's harvest. Last year's harvest is done, and I can't go back and plant yesterday. You know, I just can't do that. See, but I can plant today. Yeah. Now there are the eight of them listed. We reap what we sow. We reap same kind as we sow. We reap what others have sown. We reap more than we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. We reap in proportion to what we sow. We reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. We can't do anything about last year's harvest, but we can do something about this year's harvest. Now, isn't that great to know that? That can motivate us to do the right things. Now we reap what we sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. He that sows to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now if I try to go across that, I deceive myself. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. I remember when I learned that verse, I said, I don't want to deceive myself. You know, I don't like it when others deceive me. Why would I deceive myself? You know? And this verse says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And this says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So whatever it is, it's whatsoever. It could be anything. When I sow it, I'm going to reap it. Now we like to think that's not true sometimes. And we like to say, well, I can do this and that and then not reap. If you're going to say that, then you cut this verse out of the Bible. You know, I remember one fellow was helping another, and the guy didn't believe this verse or that verse, and he says, give me your Bible, and I think it was Lee Rimes that did it, but anyway, he lifted up the page, and he put it in here, and he comes down with a razor, and he said, well, you don't have that verse, we'll take it out of your Bible. You know? And the guy didn't want that done, you know? He didn't want his Bible cut up. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Yeah. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. Can you imagine having a big stone and you're rolling it up a hill? you're getting it there, and you're getting it, and you're going up the hill, and somehow your feet slip, and that stone comes over the top of you, and not too good. Ezra 7:10 is good, isn't it? Remember about old Haman? He built this gallows, and you know, they hanged Haman on the gallows that they'd prepared from Mordecai. Yeah, you can imagine reaping what you're sowing. So if you're going to sow bad, it's going to come bad. It's going to come. You know. See, I sow to the flesh, I'll reap corruption. I sow to the spirit, I reap life everlasting. So I make a choice. Now I'm going to reap one or the other. So it's good to make the right choice. I show hard work in business, I get business results. Yeah. One of the fellows I work with, he works hard. He works too hard, actually. He gets more business. So he's harder. And he gets more business. He works harder, you know. I mean, he's working right now. I'm quite sure he is, you know. He'd be here, but he's working. You know, he's a great guy. Great guy. But he really loves to work. And he works and works and works. And he does beautiful work, and so he gets more business. And he doesn't advertise. He gets more referrals coming. Because he does good business. And the people want, he's honest. You know? And he does good work for people, and the people just love it. You know? And he hires some people to work for him, and they're busy. Teach respect and obedience, and the result is the respect and obedience. Isn't it interesting? You go in a home, and the children are there. You know? And you see the result of what they've had. I had the privilege of having Jim Downing's children in my youth group, along with Lauren Sanny's and some other pretty high-powered youth group. And they were smarter than I was. You know, and keep ahead of them was something else. I went to the church where we went, and I told them, I have these young people, and they've worked on their testimonies. That was a good testimony we heard tonight, see. We want to work on your testimony. If you haven't worked on your testimony, you can work on it. And then these children did. So I went to the pastor and I said, what we want to do are the deacons. And I said, we're going to take these children, youth, and we're going out two by two around the community here, and we're going to share Christ. And he said, no, you can't do that. What do they think of the church? You know, what do they think? You know, and I said, well, we're going to share Jesus. He says, no. No, it's a wonderful church. Great guy. But he didn't want to have something go wrong. So we took the youth and we went to another town. And we went two by two. And we had a great time. And we purposed to go to every house in that town with going two by two. And it was terrific. You know. And we came back and we went to... I think it was Lauren Sandy's house with the youth, and some of the parents came, and they talked about what they did. And they shared Jesus, and their youth were so excited. You know, when you witness to people and you go out there and do it, it just puts a new revelation in life. You know, it just does. Evangelism is the heart of things, you know, and you just want to evangelize a telephone pole if you don't have anything else. You evangelize, you know. And so they came back and they were sharing, and it was just terrific. you know, and the parents were there looking, and they saw how the joy of their children and what they had. And you know, there was a pair of twins, and you know, they went together, and they were maybe 12, 13, 14 years old, and they'd go up the door and knock, and they said, "We want to tell you about what Jesus means to us." Now the people couldn't say no to that, you know, could they? Sorry. They couldn't say no to that. And it was just beautiful. Yeah. So we taught them how to witness and evangelize. It was really terrific. Sorry. I have him up there. If I do the red when he goes backwards, I do the white when he goes forwards. Yeah, time out. I'll move the mic up to the next button so I can hear. So the guy doesn't go to sleep. Okay. Is that better? Is that okay? I can move it up further. Put it on my back. That's all right. Okay. Doesn't make any difference to me where the mic is. Okay. Now we reap the same kind as we sow. Now look at Genesis 1:12. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb yielding seed, after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. Inside that little seed is a plant that's going to come up. It's in there, and it's after its kind. Isn't that amazing? So when we plant corn, we get corn. You know, I hate to have these people record me because I say something and I just hate to say something because I might have to confess to more people than you. You see? I did this in the church I was going to. I spoke something that I shouldn't have said. And then I confessed it to God. And then I went back to the pastor and I said, "I'm going to have to go to each person." I went to each person in the church and asked them to forgive me for what I said. You know, man, that was a project. But I get going and I say something I shouldn't and it just comes out. And I'm just a human being, I guess. James 3:12. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Probably not. Even a vine, figs. So no fountain can both yield salt water and fresh. You don't have a glass, and half of it's salt and half of it's fresh. I mean, it just don't happen. So the same kind. We reap the same kind as we sow. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Isn't that great? It's good to sit down and chat with people and just listen to what they say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the mouth speaks what's in the heart. The good man, out of the good treasure, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of his evil treasure, brings forth that which is evil. A little illustration there of the heart and the mouth speaking. Yeah. So you plant corn and get beans. You procrastinate and get timely results. You don't study and get good grades. You supersize the meals and trim bodies. You ignore the problems and you have a well-run business. You overspend and have a healthy bank account. Look at the harvest to see what was sown. See, people can look at my life, and they do look at my life. And as people look at my life, they look at what I've sown. I'm a result of what I've been sown. Early in life, I liked to run. And I'd run and run and run. And I boxed, so I got in good shape. When I boxed, I never did run out of steam boxing. I always was in good enough shape. At the third round, I was just as sharp as the first round. I was so in my stomach, somebody hit me in the stomach and lift me and set me back 2 feet, and it didn't bother me. Because it was just like, you know, steel, you know. It was really good. It was unfair, really. Because I was boxing people, you know, the third round, they're gasping for air, and I'm getting up. I can still bump something down over in my corner. Yeah. That's probably why I'm 81, you know, and still have some strength. Still going. You know, and I get more sleep now than I used to. I used to get on 3 or 4 hours, you know. I don't know what sense it was, but that's what I could do, you know. And now I can, you know, get 6 and, well, I'm a lot better, you know. That's something, isn't it? Yeah. So what we sow, we live with. You know. If we have energy and we drive and we move, see, we live with that. It's good to be alive and going good. We got up, I think, at 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that, to drive down here. You know, I was busy chatting with people and didn't have time to sleep. I mean, good night. You know, what a great time it was. We had fun with people. You know. Now, we reap what others have sown. I was raised in not a Christian family, but a very good family. My dad was a very hard worker. No one ever came to our farm and asked for help, but what they got it. Yep. And my dad taught me to work. I would irrigate. I'd be out there irrigating, and I'd come out there at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he'd be already out there. And I'd say, "Dad, how did you find your shovel?" And he said, "I had to feel around for it, but I found it." You know, get to work. So we learned to work. Amazing. Now, I had 3 sisters and a brother, all smarter than me. Now, my 3 sisters studied. I didn't have to study much, you know, and so I didn't. I was boxing and doing other things, you know. You know, and so my sister would graduate valedictorian in her school, and, you know. And then I went to university, and I got into this class, and the teacher put me right in front of his desk. And I said, "Why'd you do this?" And he said, "I had your sisters, and I know what you're like." I thought, "You don't know what I'm like." Because they were up here someplace, you know. It was really something following them. Boy. But I was blessed, see, because I was reaping what they sowed. You know. And they would help me. And they still help me. You know, they're praying for me right now. You know, that's just the way it is. And I'm a victim of prayer. Really? Yeah. 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 Here's the life of Joseph. His brother sowed, and he was sold in slavery, and Potiphar sowed, and he was condemned to prison, and the butler sowed, and Joseph was forgotten. So we reap what others sow. Each of us are reaping what other people sowed. We have so many good things coming our way, we don't hardly have time to give thanks. It's just, we're so blessed. Now, most of you in here are healthy. Now, is that good or not? Yeah. Jim Downing, I mean, is he a challenge for you? Yeah. Keep at it, Jim. More power to you. Isn't that great? My land. Yeah. Yeah. Jim in his earlier years, dug out his basement, didn't you? I think he did. I think he moved the dirt out of his basement to keep in shape. He did different things. I really appreciate Jim. Joyce and I, we'd go overseas or go someplace, and before we go, we'd go over to Jim and Marina's house and we'd get counsel. And they'd give us counsel. We didn't know what we were doing, really. We were just following God and going for it. Jim would smile at us and say, go ahead, It was really good. Now, we had his children in our youth group, and that was good. Yeah. See, what's lived in the home comes into the children, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah. We reap what others sow, the laws of our forefathers. Don't we have a blessed country? All the laws we have that people wrote way back, and we get to live by them. And it's fortunate that those people back there, many of them were Bible-believing and had principles and truths, and we're living by those. It's just fantastic. I was called in last week for I don't know what it was called. It had a name. It was before four lawyers and some other people, and they were asking me questions for an hour.
Deposition?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was a deposition. I'd never been in a deposition before, and they asked me questions for a whole hour. And I said, I don't know, so many times I thought they would get tired of it. But a lot of times I didn't know. And I never answered anything that I wasn't sure of. If I didn't know for sure, I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know. And this guy, they had these pads with the yellow sheets on them. You go on like this. And this lawyer had his pad. And he'd ask me this question, and I'd say, I don't know. And he'd turn that page. And then he'd had another page. And he asked me a question. I'd say, I don't know. He'd turn that page. Then asked me a question, and if I answered it, and then he had a whole bunch of questions you can ask me. So he had all these pages with the questions on it. And I said, I don't know, so many times. But I couldn't say for sure. If I didn't know for sure, then I said, well, I'm not sure. I don't know. And that was pretty safe. And one of the lawyers afterwards, he got up and he shook my hand, and he said, I sure wished I could have met you in a different way. Because he knew I was telling the truth. I wasn't trying to hide anything. I wasn't trying to do anything wrong. It was really interesting. Yeah, laws of our forefathers. Industry changed because of our competitors. Now, we have competition. And in competition, people try to do better. So this person does this and this does this. Now, I can't get over what we're doing now with seed corn. We're planting seed corn that, when it comes up, the bugs don't like the plant for some reason. I don't know how they do it. I took courses that I should know how, but I it's amazing. So we really have a lot of things going in our industry. It's just incredible. And we're competitive. In the United States, we're competitive right across the world. We're really blessed. And a lot of it is because of our foundation and our integrity with people and with things. And God blesses that. Yeah. I remember when I was growing up, corn was selling for 10 cents a bushel. And we were raising corn. And my dad talked to me, and he said, on the 10 cents a bushel, I'm making one penny. That's what my dad told me. And he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in a bin. You put it in a crib. We had it in years in. We put it in cribs. And so he put it in the cribs. And the next year, he put it in the crib again. Next year, he put it in the crib again. And we had cribs of corn. And he said, if it goes up one penny, that'll be a whole year's work. Isn't that good? And it did go up. And he sold it. And he made money. You know? So I learned from my dad. You know? Yeah, there's where we eat more than we sow. Sow a handful and we get a truckload. Well, maybe not quite, but it's the idea. Isn't that something? Yeah. And I remember when we were making 30 or 40 bushels to acre and we were really doing good. Now we're doing 200 bushels to acre and we're going to go to 300 probably. You know, isn't that something? We reap more than we sow, and it gets bigger. They sowed the wind, and they reaped the whirlwind. Yeah, so it isn't always positive. See, I can sow bad and reap more bad than I sowed bad. So I don't want to talk about that too long. Everyone that forsakes houses or brethren or sisters or fathers, mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. We went overseas as missionaries. And when I left to go overseas as a missionary, my dad was not yet a Christian. And that was really hard. Really hard. Because my dad loved me. And he worked hard so I could go to university and school. And he wanted me to do best. And he was honest and true. But he wasn't a Christian. He had had some bad experiences with Christians. And my dad had a sister, and some Christians had some land next to hers, and they stole her water that she was supposed to use to irrigate her land. They stole hers, and they were called themselves Christians, and my dad saw that, and that was hard. So it took a long time before he became a Christian. But I went overseas while he wasn't yet a Christian. And that was hard. But we came back, and my dad got with my daughters. And we'd been overseas, and so he took my daughter and he said, "Can you do square root?" My dad didn't want people to be stupid. He wanted them to use their brains. And so my daughter said, "Sure, we can do square root." And he said, "Show me." So he'd give them a deal, and they did the square root and did it for him. And to do square root, you use a plus b times the quantity a plus b, a squared plus 2ab plus b squared, and you use that formula to do square root. Now, most people do square root. They don't know they use the formula, but that's what they're doing. Now, to do cube root, you do a squared plus 2ab plus b squared times a plus b, and then you use that formula to do cube root. That's a little tougher. And so my dad asked my daughters if they could do cube root, and they said, "Yeah, we can do cube root." And so he thought, well, going overseas wasn't all bad. You know, they got some education. But we did go overseas, and I left my sisters. I had three sisters. I left my father. I left my mother. I didn't leave my wife or children. I took them with me. And I left lands. We left the farmland. And we did it for the Lord's sake. And we have received 100-fold. Man alive. We have been so blessed that I can't hardly stand it. You know? Over here, sometimes I talk to somebody here, and they say, "Well, yeah, this person led me to the Lord, and he led him to the Lord," and that type of thing, and it just multiplies. It's just terrific, and that's a promise. Everyone that has forsaken, everyone, no one misses out on that one. That the dink. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to your bosom. Now look at this, for with the same measure you meet, that's the way you give, withal it shall be measured to you again. Look at this little guy in the bottom there. Yeah. See, so the way you give is the way you receive. Now, God said that. And I'm not going to stand before God someday and say, Lord, I gave and didn't receive. It's not going to happen. What God says is going to happen. Now, it may come later than you think, or it may come in a different way than you think, but it's going to happen because that's what God says. I plant one seed, I get an ear of corn. You count the rows on a corn, you know if they're even or odd, all around the corn. You know how many rows that up in a row, and you can figure out how many seeds on one ear, a lot of them. Memorize one verse, you have many applications. We can understand that one, can't we? You have one verse and you get all kinds of applications. It's just fantastic. If you get a person to memorize a verse, it could change his life. Probably will. You cultivate one good client relationship and you get referrals. People send them to you. You don't have to advertise necessarily. Learn to study and become a lifetime learner. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, study, study. Yeah. God said, be fruitful and multiply. We reap in a different season than we sow. Yep. So I sow in May and plant corn, in October, maybe sometime in September, something close to that, I start to harvest. I plant a tomato seed, and it's a while before I pick tomatoes. Right? So it's a different season. I witness to somebody, may not respond right away, but a different season. You know, when you start having people come back to you and say, boy, thanks for sharing with me, that's kind of good, isn't it? You know? Yeah. So it's a different season. Now, if we know these things, it just helps us. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the earlier and latter rain. Yeah. Yeah. My dad let me, on the farm, he let me plant some corn. So I'd plant some corn and we'd go out there together and we'd dig down to get the kernel and see if it was sprouting yet. We'd see how it's coming along. Really interesting. And then it would come up and then my dad put down the first well in Phelps County. Well, a well goes down, you go down and you bring water out. My dad wasn't a Christian yet. The neighbor across the street or the road from where my dad put down the well, he said, I'm praying for rain. My dad says, I'm going down after it. And he didn't mean bad by it. He just said, this is the way it is. Yeah. And he was the first one in the county to do that. And we put ditches and we had to figure out all kinds of ways to get, we'd got 1,000 gallons a minute coming out of this tank or the well, and we had to handle that water, keep it in the ditches and keep it running so it didn't go everywhere. And so we figured out how to do that. My dad invented all kinds of stuff to do it. And people would come out and they would watch us work and irrigate. And they would see our corn and they would, you know, drive their cars out and stand and watch this phenomena of irrigation, you know. And I got an idea. I went to town and I could buy large candy bars, 3 for a dime. And I put them in the glass jugs and then I put bricks on top of them and put them in that water that was coming out of the ground. It was really cold. And when these people come out, and my dad bought a bench for them to sit on to watch us. And I would take these candy bars and sell them to them for 5 cents a piece. See, so I'd sell two and I could eat one. It was really something. And these people would buy them, and they'd sit there and watch. And it was, you know, it was amazing what we do. So we build in the children's lives, and they live as adults. We do research and development, and we get sales. We study, memorize, meditate on the spot, applications come for life. We save and invest. We have a flexible future in retirement. Is that right? Yeah. See, now if we start early, it multiplies. You know, and some of these things, some of you people are hearing at this conference, you haven't started before, so you start now. And that's great. Can't start yesterday. You only have to start now. Some of you have been doing it long, and you say, "Oh, this old hat, Harp." And I say, "Well, bear with me." Yeah. We reap in proportion. We have a little bucket or a big bucket. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. Boy, the farmers are raising grain today that is just incredible. Farmers are really in great shape. If you see a farmer here, you should be smiling. He's getting, you know, 200 bushels an acre, and he's getting $6 a bushel. That's $1,200 an acre. Now, it's costing him something to do it, but, you know, I mean, yeah, that's really good. That's good stuff. Of course, it puts the price of land up, you know. So we exercise. I mentioned that before. I exercised for boxing, and I have the benefit of it now. Yeah, I really trained to box. I exercised. I hit the light bag. You've seen them do that, you know. I do that, and I hit the heavy bag, you know, and get it to just bounce. You know, I worked at that. So I measured my punches, and I hit somebody, and he could feel it. One of my friends was going to box heavyweight, and he didn't know how to box. I said, "You are not going to box." I said, "You can't box." I said, "You don't know how to box." He said, I'm going to do it. I said, "Put the gloves on with me." Now, he was 260 pounds, 280, something like that. So I thought, I got to fix him so he doesn't want to box. And I really clobbered him in the ribs. I cracked one of his ribs. You know, he went, you know. I said, "They'll do worse than that to you, you know. I mean, you'd be thankful you got his rib cracked." You know. Yeah. So saving and investing. Now, I got really behind on this one in my life. In a way. Because I either gave everything I had away or we didn't have anything. And that's the way we operated. So I operated, you know, just from hand to mouth, day to day. You know. Now, God blessed me. He knew my ignorance in a way. And He saw me trusting Him and believing in Him. So we had provision. I think He did a lot for my wife, actually. I think he'd let me suffer a little bit more. But, you know, so I didn't save and invest. And so I, you know, it was from day to day, day to day. Now, it was really good because God provided. He did provide. And we were blessed. You know, we went overseas. Just had enough money to get over there and figure to see what God would do. It's really crazy. But we had a good time, and God blessed. Now, in nurturing your relationship with your wife. Now, one of the two of the workshops had something to do with that. We had here. I heard some about that. I thought, man, I would have still be on my knees if I had gone to that workshop. But that was really good. Now, we reap what we sow, and spending time with God. Now, we have the workshops on that. Spending time with God. Spending time with God. You know, isn't it good, you know, just to get out and walk and spend time with God? You know. Wake up in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, spend time with God. Oh, that's good. The Lord's there. You're not asleep. It's terrific. Spending time with God. Okay. Now this is a good one. We reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. What time am I supposed to be done? A half an hour ago? You know what time we finished? Would you finish the half past? Yeah, okay. Okay, we reap the full harvest only if we persevere. You understand that. This says the same thing. We don't faint. Okay, we're going through this fast. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You have that one memorized? I met with this guy I met with this fellow Dave McConnell every night, once a week. While I was meeting with him downstairs, my daughters were upstairs praying, and then they would come down and they would say, "Did he put his trust in the Lord?" And I'd say, "No, not yet." You know, 6 months later they were coming down and they said, "Did he put his trust in the Lord?" And I said, "No, not yet." You know, we met with him every week. And before a year was out, he put his trust in the Lord. This Genevieve's mother, this is over in Australia, she, after 40 years of sharing, she put her trust in the Lord. Now, impact of healthy living in your life. Now, Jim Downing is an example of that. He lived healthy living. Look at him. Isn't that terrific? Amen. Ask him, talk with him. Say, "What did you do, Jim?" You know, and it's really terrific. See, we have healthy living. We can still go good. You know, that's really terrific. We can't redo last year's harvest, but we can do something about this year's. Now, is that good or not? Yeah, I can't do anything about last year's harvest. No. I will reap last year's harvest. So if I've done bad things last year, and I can confess my sin, but the bad things still come that I reaped or have sown. If I get in debt, and I confess to the Lord, "Lord, I got in debt. I spent this money. Now I owe $10,000. And I confess it. I get up off my knees. I still owe $10,000. You know, I got to take care of it. Yeah. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you reap. We went through that. Now, this is a good one. I forget what's behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. Now, we had a couple of the workshops talked about that. Don't worry and fret about some mistake you made 2 years ago. If you confess it as sin and you've changed your life, you're working toward doing right, then get on with it. Okay? So this is the application, what I've been doing to reap what I'm reaping. That's a good thing to look at. I'm reaping something. What have I been doing to get what I got? You know, I might not like what I got. So I might want to change how I'm reaping or sowing. And do I need to repent? And how do I live with the consequences of my sowing and harvesting? And then what do I need to sow to get the harvest that I want? And you can understand that. You can make application. We're there. You people are a blessing. I get kind of, you know, I think, well, who am I to be up here and speak to you wonderful people? But they asked me to do it, and I pray about it. I have people praying for me, and I trust God to use it, and that's a good thing. We will give thanks, okay? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our God. We thank you that you came, and you died that we might live. And Lord, we want to live 100% for you. And Lord, we thank you for the fellowship we have here at this conference, the fellowship of sharing with people that we've not seen for a while. And we get to see and have fellowship and pray together and share your goodness and encourage one another. And then we get to meet new people that are walking with you and wanting to grow. And I pray for those here that are having needs, and that they would be able to get the counsel and the wisdom to have those needs met in a way that honors you and gives you glory. And we thank you for the blessings you give us. We thank you for our families. We pray for those at our home, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, our families, and then friends, that you would bless them. Thank you for their prayers. And Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the ones that have worked to just make this conference possible. And many of them have worked hard. And we praise you for that. And we give you glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.